Matthew Bunsen is the author of numerous works on church history, the papacy, Mary, and the saints. He served as a special consultant to USA Today for its coverage of the death of Pope John Paul II and the conclave that elected Pope Benedict XVI. His latest book is the first biography of our new pope. It's entitled, We Have a Pope, Benedict XVI. And Matthew Bunsen is on the telephone with us this morning on Catholic Forum. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
First question, Matthew, as an observer of this conclave and as an expert, what do you think was the most striking aspect of the recent conclave?
It's interesting that when popes pass away, of course, that the process is undertaken to elect their successor. What was especially striking about this conclave was the degree to which the passing and the funeral of John Paul II really served as a major backdrop for the events that followed. Mm-hmm. When we consider that up to 4 million people came to look at the body of John Paul II, mm-hmm. he was a towering figure, both in his lifetime, but especially in his death. Mm-hmm. And one can see the events of the conclave really through the lens of the funeral of John Paul II.
Mm-hmm. Now, as an expert on the papacy, were you surprised when Cardinal Ratzinger was elected pope?
No, I wasn't. Cardinal Ratzinger, I think, was probably the heaviest favorite going into a conclave, certainly since 1939, when Eugenio Pacelli was elected Pope Pius XII. Mm-hmm. The world, of course, was on the brink of the Second World War, and the cardinals who gathered in Rome in that year chose someone that they considered really to be the most ideally suited person to take over. The same situation, I think, was very much in place with the election of Joseph Ratzinger as pope, in that the cardinals who had gathered in Rome really reached a rather swift consensus mm-hmm. that he was the ideal person to carry forward the program of John Paul II in addressing so many of the great concerns of the Church.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you researched your new book entitled We Have a Pope, Benedict XVI, what were some of the more interesting findings that you come across about Pope Benedict's life?
The first and most striking was that it's easy to forget that prior to his being named the Archbishop of Munich and Freising in 1977, prior to his appointment at the College of Cardinals and then his taking over as head of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, he was one of the preeminent theologians in the Church in the second half of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And that background, that foundation for him, I think really provided the impetus for the remarkable work that he undertook as a cardinal. He was a major participant in his own way in the Second Vatican Council and had a direct hand in shaping the formulation, the drafting, and then the final versions of several of the key documents of the Council, including the Constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium, and the Decree on Divine Revelation called Dei Verbum. So he was involved over the span of the modern Church in almost all of its major issues, its controversies, and the key decisions, certainly, of the pontificate of John Paul II. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to forget that he was, in his own right, a truly great theologian. Mm-hmm. And you can see that already in his writings and in his speeches. The other important facet that I found really quite interesting was his abilities as a teacher. Hmm. And one thinks of him as a great theologian, as someone who is handling the most complicated issues of the Church's teachings. But he's been able to bring those down, to distill them into phrases and sentences and speeches and homilies that can be readily understood by everyone. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is going to be very important as he begins to address the great problems and challenges for the Church in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and my guest this morning is Matthew Bunsen, who is an author, a church historian, and his latest book is entitled We Have a Pope, Benedict XVI. Matthew, I guess prior to the election and immediately after the conclave, people were talking about
Benedict XVI, referring him to him as the enforcer and so forth. But I guess my question is, how would you describe his personality? Was that just kind of a bad rap that he got, or is he actually that way?
It was interesting in just the very first hours after his election as Benedict XVI, that's, I hate to use the phrase, the mainstream media, but the media in general really began perpetuating a lot of these myths and caricatures and misrepresentations of him.
Yeah.
The Enforcer was one title.
Right.
I heard God's Rottweiler, the Inquisitor, those sorts of things that probably represent more of an agenda on the part of some people than they actually represent anything remotely close to what Cardinal Ratzinger's really like.
Well, what is he really like?
By almost universal agreement, he is a man of intense pastoral and spiritual depth.
Hmm.
And that's sometimes lost in the very complicated theological problems that he wrestles with on a daily basis. He is a person of great prayer. One slight anecdote that one can toss out is that his aides often, as I understand it, have to keep an eye on him, because when he travels the world, or traveled as a cardinal, he would often duck into empty rooms or find any spare moment he could to read the breviary to pray.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that a lot of people don't really think about or associate with him.
Right.
The other thing that he has is a very humble and warm personality. Humble in the sense that, as he himself said on the very day of his election, that he is a humble servant and worker in the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
That is really how he sees himself. He's unpretentious. He used to walk to work every day from his apartment near the Vatican, wearing a simple cassock and his pectoral cross that he received as a bishop, and would meet and greet pilgrims from all over the world. He would converse freely with the students from the various seminaries in Rome. He would actually give people directions on how to get around the Vatican, tourists who probably had no idea who he was, other than just a simple and charming priest.
Yeah.
He travels extensively, going to places that he loves, where he can rest, where he can relax. He has a great fondness for the Alps. The two things that, in terms of his personality, that I found very, very striking is that he has a great fondness for cats.
Oh, really?
And everywhere he's gone, in fact, cats seem to love him.
Huh.
In the city of Regensburg, for example, he was very well known for the fact that the stray cats in the city would come right to him wherever he was.
Huh.
And he and his brother collected plates of cats, and just a fondness that he has.
Hmm.
It is also reported that he enjoys the European orange soda Fanta.
Huh.
And that he can eat very large amounts of Christmas cookies when it's that time of the year. So little things like that tell us a lot about a person.
Yeah, really. So if you want to send a gift to our new pope, send him a case of Fanta and a cat and some Christmas cookies, right?
He's extremely considerate as well.
Yeah.
During the days leading up to the conclave, he actually took the time to wish several cardinals a happy birthday when it was that their birthday during the conclave.
Mm-hmm.
He also has a reputation for speaking to everyone in a room at a meeting, from the most powerful to the most seemingly unimportant.
Mm.
And he would always take the time to greet them and thank them for the work that they were doing for the church.
Mm.
And that's something that a lot of high-ranking prelates and a lot of very important people don't often think to do or have the time to do.
What are some of the most pressing challenges that are facing our new pope?
It's a major question, and one can only imagine the perspectives that Pope Benedict has on that question itself, and why he was so reluctant at first to assume the papacy. The most pressing issue, and the one I think that was certainly the one that the cardinals discussed in great detail in the days and months leading up to the conclave, is the crisis of faith and Christian culture in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
We have a shrinking population for all kinds of reasons, including abortion and contraception, as well as just the aging population, the affluence of the West. There is the rise of the secularist mentality in parts of Europe and even elsewhere in the First World, including the United States.
Mm-hmm.
These are problems that have to be addressed immediately for both the short and the long-term future of the Church. Pope Benedict, I think, also has to continue to advance evangelization in the third world to assist the development of the Church in parts of Africa, in South America, in Asia, where the numbers are increasing almost exponentially every year, where vocations are booming, but where the countries themselves are still plagued by economic problems, by the crisis of AIDS, by poverty, by war, by the instability of their governments. And also, one of the other major issues that touches on that is the rise of militant Islam in different parts of the world. Pope Benedict will also, I think, have to deal with the issue of dwindling vocations in the first world, and it's not just to the priesthood, but to the religious life for men and women, and advance a program in keeping with the spirit of John Paul II to try to reinvigorate that. So those are just four of a fairly long list of problems that he will face. But he does so with a surprising amount of confidence, trust, and enthusiasm. In fact, on one of his very first homilies, he reiterated to everyone that the Church is alive. And as he put it, the Church is alive because Christ is alive.
I know Pope, I'm sure you'll agree that Pope John Paul II is a real tough act to follow. Do you think that Benedict XVI is up for the challenge?
Absolutely. What we have seen really from the very start is someone who brings a wealth of experience and a depth of experience, unlike almost any cardinal elected really since Pius XII, who, as we were discussing, faced the onset of the Second World War. He, as I mentioned, has been involved in just about every major crisis, challenge, and opportunity for the Church in the last 40 years. Certainly as one of the great assistants, friends, and confidants of John Paul II, Joseph Ratzinger had the absolute trust of his predecessor, and he brings with him that long experience of his friendship with John Paul II, as well as his own gifts, and they are pretty formidable. And I think whether his pontificate is a long one or a short one, he will definitely leave his mark. We are certainly seeing indications of that already with his outreach to the Orthodox churches, his promise to continue ecumenical dialogue, and even what some are interpreting as his invitation to China, which would be a really major breakthrough for the religious life of people in that communist country.
Matthew, how can our listeners get a copy of your book?
The book should be available almost everywhere, but if you want to order one, you go to www.osv.com or at amazon.com, where they can be ordered right off. I think also barnesandnoble.com sells it.
So it's www.osv, it stands for Our Sunday Visitor, osv.com, or any of the other bookstores or online book merchants. And the book is entitled We Have a Pope, Benedict XVI, and the author is Matthew Bunsen. Matthew, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today on Catholic Forum.
Thank you very much. It was good to be with you.